We still believe that the Treasury needs to do a better job of communicating both their plans and what they're doing to the Congress and to the American people, because we think there's a lot of gaps there. They just need to explain to people and to Congress in various different forums what it is they're doing, why they're trying to do what they're trying to do, and what they expect to achieve. I think that's actually the biggest key. What sort of indicators of success are they looking to?
And then there's been this sort of weird conversation about where either they didn't know how much money was left in the program or they weren't saying. And so it seems there have been those kinds of almost, in my view, sort of odd distractions.
Right, right. Well, I think this came up because on Sunday, I guess, George Stephanopoulos asked the Treasury Secretary how much money he had left, because people were adding up all the announcements they had made. They came out to $667 billion, and so that sounded like they had about $35 billion left. And then he said they thought they had $135 billion left. And so we found out on Monday why they were changing where their numbers were different. They decided they weren't going to spend as much on CPP because the uptake hasn't been quite as dramatic, and they also decided on one of their other programs that their uptake may not be as dramatic as they originally predicted, and so they sort of downsized some of their expected uses. And that saved them, I think, $77 billion. And then they also were expecting to get up to $25 billion in repayments. So they came up with $102 billion more that way. And so I think the numbers, we didn't actually include in our report the $25 billion repayment. We thought that was somewhat speculative.
And one of the issues through here is the issue of transparency, and as we've Amy and I have talked about, transparency seems to be a little bit one of these Rorschach words where it means different things to different people.
I'm sure that's true.
Can you give us a little bit of, when you guys look at transparency, what are you actually talking about, and then how well is the TARP program dealing with this?
Well, I think, again, we've been making recommendations since we've issued our first report in early December to try to improve the transparency, and we do think that they've made some improvements. In fact, also the special IG has made recommendations along those lines. So they've been much better at putting up for public consumption a lot more details of the contracts, and they certainly do put out fair detail on their disbursements. We actually recommended this time that they be more transparent about the fact that they're actually getting money back. I mean, they've gotten almost $3 billion in dividends from the banks that they purchased stock in, and they never said anything about that. And that's sort of, you would think that would be good news, and they want to tell people about that. So there's sort of transparency in a lot of different areas where, again, I think they've made improvements, they've been getting a lot of suggestions, but they still don't think in terms of getting information out to people the way they should.
I want to get back to the communication issue, sure. But you had said something at the very beginning of this interview that really struck me, and you said that one of the things they need to do is figure out what it is they're trying to achieve. Do you mean like an end goal, ultimate, you know, with numbers and specifics? Or what did you mean by that?
Basically, I guess I mean, you know, they have all these programs. The question is, how are we supposed to judge those programs? How are they judging those programs? How do they know when they're working or not working? And how will the American people, the Congress of American people, know when they're working or not working? So, for example, in our reports, we've come up with a set of indicators that we think are at least something worth looking at to see how the markets are reacting to a lot of this stuff, understanding that TARP is only one of many things that's going on, and therefore it's hard to blame or give credit to TARP alone if something's getting worse or better. But that they're working on indicators of their own, but they've been working on them now for 6 months, and it'd be useful to get something out there so people know what they're tracking. And in particular on these new programs, this mortgage mitigation program, for example, what is going to be their measures of success? How will they know, how will we know, if the program is working once it's rolling out and rolled out?
If you don't know where it is you're going, it's going to be very hard to figure out how you're going to get there.
Right, and I think they have a set of goals that are a little bit vague. I'm not sure they're, and maybe they actually are more specific than we know, but we don't, they need to lay it out. They need to lay it out for people so that other people know they have goals and that they know and we'll know if things are working.
How much is the people issue? And I was looking for this in the report and didn't see it, but there are all sorts of vacant offices, particularly at top levels of the Treasury Department. How much of that plays a role in sort of the issues that the Treasury continues to have with TARP?
Well, I mean, I think the TARP group itself has been building up pretty steadily, and they're up to over 100 now. And I guess their goal now is getting to get close to 200 before when they're fully functional. So their staff has been building up pretty gradually, but I think at a reasonable rate given the time they've had to do it. There is obviously, I mean, for example, we know that the head of TARP, Interim Assistant Secretary Kash Kerry, is interim.
Right.
I mean, and so he's sort of in a little bit of a, you know, in a kind of awkward situation. I think they evidently, I read in the newspaper that they had somebody they thought were going to replace him, and then the person backed out. So I think there's that issue. They would like to get, I guess, you know, a more permanent head of the program to go forward. I think the other issue, though, is that because Secretary Geithner doesn't have a lot of people, at least for public consumption, it's hard for him to get up or somebody from Treasury to get up and testify in front of all these committees who are holding hearings. And so that leaves a gap. I mean, we had a hearing just the other day in front of Senate Finance where they said that they invited Treasury, but Treasury wasn't able to come. All there was there was the SIG, and the COP, and GAO. You need to have somebody there to defend the program when people are attacking it or criticizing it, and there wasn't anybody there to do that. And I think that's part of the communications problem.
That was where I was going to go with this. If that was part of the communication problem, communication dovetailing with transparency, how can they improve their communication?
Well, we have a number of suggestions. Actually, we were kind of broad in the early reports, but we've gotten a little bit more specific. We have some specific, you know, recommendations, some specific actions they think they could try. One would be to just have somebody who's in charge of communications, have a communications officer. I'd also try to get, and they're doing this a little bit better, trying to integrate communications into the operations. One of the things they're doing, for example, in the mortgage mitigation program is they have a website so that people can go to the website and actually just try to run some numbers and see if they might qualify. So it's sort of an announcement, but it's part of the program. It makes it more visible and gets people to maybe understand how it works. We also think they need to talk to Congress more, not just in hearings. And not just in formal briefings, that they need to get out and talk to the members in particular. And they also, I think, need to get outside of just the Banking and House and Financial Services Committee, because they have, under TARP, they're responsible to 8 committees, but they tend to focus on the Banking and Financial Services Committee. We think they should look to the other committees as well, just to keep them in the loop, because they don't feel like they're in the loop.
And Treasury is right alongside you with this? They're working with you on it?
Well, again, they agree that they need to do better. They think they're doing when they respond to our recommendations, they list all the stuff on their website, all the testimonies they've done, all the reports they've issued, and we think that's all well and good, but they need to be basically more proactive, for lack of a better term.
Can I just touch back on the transparency, because I know this program, TARP, it was exempted from the federal acquisition regulations, and there was a little bit of concern, particularly from industry, who were sort of looking for potential ways of helping and getting contracts out of this program, that things were sort of being awarded without much transparency, oftentimes without people even knowing about it. Is that an issue at all, have most of the contracts been let?
Well, there have been a lot of contracts let. I guess we looked pretty closely at the process, and I don't think we've found any real problem. So some of the rules don't quite apply, and they also have these things that aren't just literally contracts. They're that they call financial agent agreements, which they have, for example, with Bank of New York Mellon as a custodian, and now I guess they're using Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for the mortgage mitigation program. As kind of, again, what they call financial agents, which is a slightly different structure. So we had a few issues that they've more or less been working through on the contracting side, but we haven't found any real problems that I've heard of.